Welcome to University Drive, your pathway to the transformational work of University of the Bahamas. Our goal is to build a better Bahamas by shaping tomorrow's leaders today, finding solutions to challenges, and forging new opportunities for growth. University Drive, where faculty, staff, students, and alumni travel the road of progress together with you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to University Drive. I'm your host, Craig Smith. In this episode, we are tackling an important issue that has far-reaching implications for the Bahamas as we seek to build a thriving society. Imagine a nation where all men feel a sense of empowerment, specifically Black men. What does it take to get there? What's at risk if we don't get there? And are we feeling the consequences of that lack of empowerment now? Today's guests are the committee members of the upcoming Morehouse Bahamas Alumni Association's International Black Men's Empowerment Summit. Today we have with us Duran Humes, member of Toastmasters Club 1600, and Fabian Fernander, past president of Morehouse Alumni Association. Gentlemen, welcome to University Drive. We have a lot to unpack during this episode.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
So let's start off. So we're diving into a complex issue regarding Black men's empowerment, Bahamian Black men's empowerment in particular. So within the context of this summit that is coming up in September, right here in the Bahamas and hosted at Margaritaville, I want us to talk a little bit about, in this era with all that has been happening, how the world has changed, and as well as the expectations and opportunities we have in this moment to really define and build community and progress. So to start off with, what does it mean for you when we talk about Black men's empowerment? And is that different depending on nationality, culture, context?
Well, thank you, Craig, for having us today. I think definitely we appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak to this platform. And, you know, for us, you know, establishing this, you know, Black Men's Conference, we thought it was pivotal to get started and also to kind of reinforce, you know, and build up our Black men. You know, we talk about, you know, all the things that have happened, you know, between after COVID and after the race relations, you know, and all the riots that have happened after, you know, Floyd, and everything in between. And I think, you know, where that puts us is this new where dynamic, where we're in this new dynamic where, one, we're being challenged as, one, firstly, individuals, we're being challenged, secondly, as males, and then thirdly, we're being challenged because of our race identity, you know. And I think those three things now, you know, bring us to this beautiful mix where we now have to figure out, you know, one, who we are, two, where we're going, and three, how do we get there? You know, and for us, you know, establishing this conference, first thing we wanted to delve in is, you know, who we are, you know, as Black males, you know, and I think that's a double thing we have to unpackage because one, it's the male part of it, because now you have this whole introduction of, you know, female dominance in society and where do males fit in? And especially here in the Bahamas, you now have an overabundance of females who are more professional than males. And what I mean by that is that you have more females in professional roles and capacities in Bahamas. And then secondly, you also now have to unpackage, you know, where do we fit in this sphere as, you know, Black men or Black people or people of color. So I think this is that pivotal time where we really need to dive into those matters. And I think the part of it we also need to put into the mix is also the mental health issues, because I think all of these now compound on mental health issues where we feel, especially with the new internet of social media, where we feel less than. We see all of our counterparts, you know, doing well, driving, you know, coming in jets and, you know, having luxury goods, and they're all excelling in these different roles. And people are struggling to figure out, you know, where do I come in? how do I fit into this, and how do I get to that next level? So I think these are the things, we hope to kind of unpackage with this conference, and then hopefully, kind of address, here in the context of the Bahamas and the world. And I think the last part of your question, whereas if this matters, whether it's whoever you're a Bahamian or international or in different places, I think it's very important because it provides context to your background. And I think the context now becomes, if you're in America, we see race front and center. When I say we see race front and center, when you're in America, your skin definitely matters. For me, going from Nassau to Atlanta to go to Morehouse, I didn't see race before I made that trip. And the reason being is, as I grew up, I saw white Bahamians, I saw black Bahamians, I saw Concijo Bahamians, I saw Chinese Bahamians, and everyone still had the same dialect. A lot of people went to the same schools, so I interacted with them, interchangeably. When I went to Morehouse, there was this different impact of everyone in my school was black or predominantly, of that shade. There were very few actually Anglo-Saxons or white Americans or white people. But then outside of the bounds of Morehouse, you had this whole dynamic of now you have race, now you're black, now you're not white, now you have disadvantaged, you're underprivileged or disadvantaged in the work environment or opportunities. And that was my first experience with race at all. And that is when, the headlights came on, like, hold up, you're not just a Bahamian now, you're a black man. And now you have to contend with this whole new dynamic. So I think that is some of the things, that were enlivened to me or brought to light. But Duran, you could also, chime in.
Duran, thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. And I haven't had the opportunity to live in America, but I can definitely, from persons that I speak to, they definitely experience the same thing, right? Now, at least from my experience as being a Bahamian, our main thing here with the culture is more classism versus racism, right? So it doesn't matter what color you are, you can still be shut out in the Bahamas, right? So that's my main experience growing up so far in the Bahamas.
Okay. I wonder though, Duran, I wonder if class, if there is a connection between class and race, even here in the Bahamas, right? Even to you, Fabian, I think the idea that, well, a couple of things. I wonder if you think that you because you talk about your experience and realizing your blackness when you went to Atlanta. I wonder if that is the same for today's youth in the Bahamas as it was for you in the, I think it was what, early 2000s, late 1990s for you. Is the experience of young black Bahamian men the same today as it was for you in terms of their understanding of their race and or their blackness and the opportunities that they may have, even here in the Bahamas, based on, again, a combination of race and class?
Yeah, so I think the times have changed. I think from the time when I went, in the late 90s and onward, I think it's completely different now. And I think it's different because you have this huge impact of social media where persons are living on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, on all of these different platforms. So you don't get to be sheltered in your world of the Bahamas. You now live intercontinental every day. Every day when you go on your phone or a laptop, you're experiencing stuff from America, experiencing stuff from Europe. You're dialing into those things. So I think now you realize you are a black man, in the Bahamas. You realize that from the jump because you see it. And a lot everyone now has the impact of seeing what race relations are and how they're breaking down around the world. So I think it's completely different now. And I think now people more so than ever, even Bahamians, understand that their blackness matters, in terms of their race, especially when they go into these, different contexts. And now, as you allude to, Craig, those contexts have changed because now in the Bahamas, you have so much foreign influence. Foreign influences in companies and business, expats running companies or being in different roles, you now have that same kind of dynamic you have to interact with on your own soil. So I think it's here now, right? And you can't run away from it. And I think part two of your question around classism, I think the classism definitely exists and it still exists. And I don't think that will ever go away. But I do agree. I think the classism did evolve from race relations, between, having our slave, back in the slave time where downtown was, officially, Pompey Square was officially our first trading block of slaves. And then moving into, persons now getting businesses downtown who were now either slave owners or they were actually fleeing their own land when they had the persecution of religion. And then you have all these Anglicans and Protestants coming here to the Bahamas to live. And now, we see that translation now between having that white, what was the initial political group that ruled downtown?
UBP,
There was the Bay Street
DUP,
Boys.
or Bay Street Boys. Okay.
Yeah, so you had the Bay Street Boys and the UBP, and you see where there was a predominance or abundance of, Anglo-Saxons or more people of, lighter skin. And you see, if you trace your lineage, you'll see where those persons are still persons who have more power, more money, more real estate, in the country at this time. I think where classism is slowly beginning to disappear is now that you have Black people who are now gaining that prominence in society with money and wealth. They are now being accepted in those classes. So you see that slowly erode because, if your name is a certain last name, that becomes the distinction between whether or not the race matters. And to Duran's point, that's where the classism still exists. So I think it's still challenging for us to move beyond that, because it puts us on unplaying level fields, whether you're a new graduate from UB or a new graduate from college, and your name isn't so and so, or you don't have political connections or social connections, it's hard for you to start. You start at literally ground zero, and you have to work your way up. And the difference I've seen, coming from the US to here, is that working your way up takes 10 to 15 years because you don't have the ability, even if you have skills and credibility, to move into a good paying job. No matter how much career and experience you bring, you have to move into an internship level or ground level. And that's really what, setting us back. But, I'll allow Duran to, chime in a little bit more.
No, I definitely agree with all the points made. I mean, from my personal experience with living in the Bahamas, that's definitely something that I have noticed is that basically political capitalism, right? But that's how we operate here. That's not how they operate in the US, at least not as much, because there's a lot more people and it's a bit tougher in terms of being able to get access to the politicians because there's so many of them. But at least in terms of race relations, I personally haven't experienced that in the Bahamas, but I'm sure other persons have in the Bahamas, right? Yeah, that's where I stand.
Yeah. And I think it's really interesting. And I think that, again, a lot of what both of you have been talking about so far, I think it's really important in terms of thinking about the summit that you guys are planning. And I want us to talk a little bit more specifically about the summit and what's going to happen during the, I think it's a 3-day period, correct? So I want
Correct.
you to talk to me a little bit about the 3 days and what we can expect for each day. What do you think? Because again, I like the conversation, and I think that one of the first things that we need to do in order to think about empowerment, the first thing is conversation, right? And even having conversations like this, like we're having right now, because I might think about, even in terms of thinking about our relationship with our Blackness and our race, while it's not the same as the United States, I remember growing up in the 1970s and 80s, and I remember watching Roots. Roots would come on ZNS periodically at very interesting moments, right? To remind us of a particular history in order I would say, in order to get us to think about certain things, voting in a particular kind of way. So I would say that, you know, our relationship with racism and our blackness in the Bahamas has always been there. It's been very subtle in certain ways. I think Nicolette Bethel wrote something in an essay where she said, if South Africa had practiced apartheid the way that the Bahamas did, right, they wouldn't have all the trouble that they had with all the riots and so on. I thought that was really interesting, right? And many of us don't think about apartheid related to the Bahamas, but I thought that that was really interesting, what she said. And, you know, she didn't go into much more detail, but she just left that nugget there. And I think it's really interesting for us to think about in terms of how we think about racism and the fact that we don't experience it here in the Bahamas or having that mindset. But again, I think that the summit can get us to a place where we can all come together and have those kinds of conversations, right? About what we've experienced and what we understand based on certain types of experiences. So talk to me a little bit about the 3-day events. What should we expect? And who are some of the speakers?
Good. So yeah, so as we think about the 3-day event, you know, our intention of planning it was definitely trying to, I would say, unpackage it, unravel it like an onion, you know. So first, we didn't want to set the conference up where, you know, persons get all riled up and, you know, they feel they're on top of the world and they know next steps if they really don't know some of their limiting beliefs, you know, and some of the things that are holding them back. So day one really focuses on reflecting on race and empowering thought. Because that day is meant for us to open up, to really understand what's keeping us back as Black people. How do we understand, you know, these beliefs that we've either been led to believe or things that we have ingrained in us? And then moving past that, knowing how can we build and move forward. So some of the speakers we have for day one is Bakari Sellers. You know, he's definitely a world-renowned author. And he really knows and goes deep into race thought and how these things are limiting beliefs. We also have, from a Bahamian perspective, Carlos Palacios, and then also Bishop Neil Ellis. But to close out that day, you know, to really hit it home and drive us to where we need to go to get the wheels turning is Dr. Cornel West. You know, and Dr. Cornel West has numerous books, you know, on race, you know, race history, race development, and also kind of moving past those limiting beliefs that keep us grounded or keep us stagnant as Black people. You know, here in the Bahamas and abroad, we talk about, you know, this crab in the bucket syndrome of after a Black person moves forward, you know, the next person, either they shut the door or they pull you back down. You know, it's never this build up belief where we say, hey, I want to pull up 2 more Black men, or I want to pull up 3 more Black men, you know, so we can all have this contingent and get stronger. And I think that will be seek to unpack on day one, just understanding the Black self. Day two, after we've unpackaged that, we want to move forward to showing how do we can solidify the Black network altogether by building networks and partnerships of purpose. So that day we have, you know, 4 impactful speakers, Dr. Rashad Ritchie, Dr. Edwin Moses, who was a Olympian world athlete, you know, and we really wanted to kind of mix up who those speakers are. The reason being is, as we grow as Black men, we don't want any limiting beliefs to think that we can only be an accountant. We can only be, you know, possibly a teacher. You know, we can be Olympic athletes. You know, we can be film producers. You know, we can be the financial or investment, you know, guru. We could be a tech guru and run a tech company. So we wanted to make sure we had a broad enough panel, especially on that day, so you can see it all. You know, we also have John David Washington, who is Denzel Washington's son. And, you know, he has, you know, multiple award-winning movies out there. And we wanted him to be able to unpack, you know, for himself, what has it been navigating through the world of film, you know, in a predominantly white-dominated kind of industry, where you have, you know, persons who typically used to own the franchise of all the production studios in L.A., and control that to now where it's more open, you know, and broader. And then day three goes into business, finance, and investments, because day one, we unpackage your limiting beliefs. Day two, we show you how to build networks and purpose. And day three, now we're going to teach you how to make money. and How to Grow and Be Successful. And day three, we have Paul Judge, Vern Perry, DPM, Chester Cooper. And then also, you know, we're hoping for our big, you know, crescendo to be Robert Smith. So anyone who's not familiar with Robert Smith, he's a billionaire. He's a billionaire who made his money through financial services. He was initially part of the BlackRock group, and he started his own company. And he gave the keynote speech at the 2019 Morehouse convocation. And it was at that speech, while he was empowering men, he showed them what was it to release those bounds. And at that graduation, he gave them a gift, and that gift was freedom. You know, he provided a donation to Morehouse where he'd pay off all of their tuition expenses and all the debt that they have, which amounted to $34 million as his gift to them moving back into the world. He said, hey, now you're here, you've got your education, now I want to set you free so you don't have this thing holding you down, these chains and these bonds. And we think for him, you know, coming and being able to close off, it'll be able to put you on that trajectory to show you anything is possible, and you can be on any level playing field with any of the persons out there, regardless of what your race is. So that's the 3-day conference.
Wow, that sounds like a lot, but very, very interesting, and some great speakers and some great themes. I like the idea of starting off with the idea of the Black self. And again, I think that Cornel West is a great speaker to help us move through that and an understanding of who we were, who we have been, who we are, and maybe who we can be, yeah? All right, so let's take our first break of the show, and we'll come back and continue the conversation. You're listening to University Drive. We'll be back after these messages.
Chapter One Bookstore is proud to serve the students, faculty, and staff of the University of the Bahamas and the community at large. We are the premier choice for the purchase of university textbooks and supplies and UB logo apparel, paraphernalia, and gifts. We also carry a wide variety of school supplies, learning aids, and leisure books. Visit our copy center for all of your printing, copying, and binding needs. Chapter One Bookstore is located on the ground floor of the Michael H. Eldon Complex on University Drive. Shop with us on Monday through Saturday. You can contact us at 397-2650 or email at chapter1@ub.edu.bs. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chapter One Bookstore. Chapter One, the premier choice.
Welcome back to University Drive. I'm your host, Craig Smith, and we're having a conversation about Black men's empowerment, what it means, and what are the key considerations. We're speaking with committee members of the Black Men's Empowerment Summit that's coming up this September. So I'd like to talk to you guys about your roles on the committee. What are your roles, and how is the planning process going so far? Duran, we can start with you.
Sure. So my role on the committee is head of sponsorships. So getting the money in so we could actually fund the event. And then on top of that, I'm also the coordinator for the golf tournament. So after our 3-day summit, we expect to have a golf tournament, which is going to be hopefully a celebrity hosted golf tournament. And what's going to happen there is that that gives us the opportunity to fully unpack all the lessons and the knowledge that you would have gained over the 3 days in a format that is easygoing, to where you are with possibly someone that you don't know or that you met at the conference for at least 5 hours, right? So both of you, or the four of you, get the opportunity to really unpack what you have just learned and to have further conversations and further enhance the networking effect, right? So that's a beautiful thing in and of itself. And also on top of that, you get the opportunity to win some great prizes that we're lining up as well. Like one being a C-Class Mercedes, that would be pretty good for someone to win that on the hole-in-one prize. Then on top of that, like I said, sponsorships. So that's part of the thing that I'm doing now, is soliciting sponsorships from different local companies, as well as hopefully our international partners also. So we're able to fund the event, make it a great experience overall for all of our attendees, as well as our sponsors that come in.
All right. And actually, one of the things that I don't think we've discussed yet, the main purpose of this conference, besides networking,
Yes.
outside of just having these conversations, the real push
Scholarship.
behind this, the scholarships, right? Can you guys talk to us about that and why that is so important? And again, maybe for the sponsors that you're getting, do the sponsors understand the importance of this scholarship program and why this is important?
Yes, absolutely. So that's part of the reason why the Morehouse College Alumni Association would have partnered with Club 1600 is that 1600 will be a network or a funnel for those students that are good candidates for this scholarship program, right? And the big part of the reason why this whole conference is even being put on in the first place, or the summit, is so that we can raise funds for that scholarship fund to send young Black Bahamian men to Morehouse on a full ride scholarship, right? So ultimately, the Alumni Association is doing its part to help push Bahamian young men to higher education, right? Which, as we all know on this call, is not something that a lot of us actually go into, right? So that's something that this entire group is doing, and we hope to have great success with this particular endeavor.
All right, awesome. Fabian, you're the past president of the Morehouse Bahamian Alumni Association, is that correct? Can you talk to
Correct.
us a little bit about how many Morehouse men do we have in the Bahamas, and what is their how are they feeling about the purpose of this summit to help get more young, deserving, underprivileged Black Bahamian boys to Morehouse? And also talk to us a little bit about Morehouse. Why Morehouse? Why is Morehouse such a great place for young Bahamian men to attend?
Great. So yes, so in the Bahamas, we currently have 44 past alumni who attended Morehouse. I think right now we have about six persons who are currently going through Morehouse now. And the alumni body here, it's wide and varied. Persons such as myself, I'm in sales and marketing, but we have person, who are in the hotel industry. Some persons have multiple persons of their own businesses, restaurants. A multitude of different industries. So all of our guys, we really fit the stereotype of what it is to be a Morehouse man. And basically what that stereotype is a Morehouse man can do anything or be anything. There are no bounds. So for us, we go and we seek out, whatever our passion is, and we follow that. So, we say, why Morehouse? And what makes Morehouse different? So for me, as I thought about going to Morehouse and possibly other different institutions, the difference was this. For one, it is a predominantly Black school. It is a HBCU, a historically Black college and university, but it is also all male. So a lot of persons have that contention in their mind, like, why would a young man want to go to an all-male institution? So two things happen there, so people can unpack that dynamic. So one, we're actually in the AUC, which is the Atlanta University Consortium. So Morehouse, which is an all-male school, is literally next door to an all-female school, which is Spelman, and literally next door to a co-ed school, which is Clark Atlanta. So while our schooling may be independent and it's all male in our, compound, we interact on a daily basis, socialize with women all day long. We even have women in some of our classes. But the most important part of Morehouse is this. The way that the education is structured is different because, I, just so everyone understands, I'm not totally biased. I went to, after Morehouse, I went to a university in Rochester, New York, which had, so I went from Morehouse, which had 3,000 people, to a university in Rochester, New York, which is a predominantly white school, and they had 32,000 people, right? So I saw both sides of the dynamic. I saw what it meant to be to an all Black school. And at an all Black school and a priority school, you matter. You're an individual. People know your name, people know your face, and you get to interact, on a one-to-one basis with your professor. We have class sizes between 24 to 35 persons max at sometimes. And you get that interaction, that one-on-one, and you get to kind of really drill down, on the concepts, on different activities and different, theories that are being, presented. In that institution, you also get a chance to also unpackage what it means to you to be a Black man, a Black man in America, a Black man in your Caribbean, and also a Black man just generally, because you get to openly have those discussions unabashed without someone trying to time you out or being politically correct. You can just have those conversations. And I think at Morehouse, you get that, you get the best of both worlds. You get not only being a top tier education, you get to understand who you are as an individual, you get to understand who you are as a Black person. And then more importantly, because the education is so thorough, you get the best opportunities presented to you. So Morehouse literally is the number one feeder school and number one feeder program for all of the companies looking for top tier educated Black men. And what tends to happen is we get the first pick of all the top priority jobs in the US and sometimes Europe. And these are, some of the things that led me, to choose Morehouse. And as it transcends, I was a dual degree engineering major. So after that, I got to choose an engineering institution to go to, and I chose RIT, which is in Rochester, New York. The dynamic relations that Morehouse had with these engineering institutions were, after you've already learned your core and you've understood exactly how to excel and how to study and how to network, they put you in this engineering institution now where you learn not only how to work as an individual, but also work in a team environment. And it allows you to have both, so you know how to navigate the world. Because I think what happens, a lot, Craig, is that people go to other institutions and you learn how to learn. You learn how to do a particular science or industry or profession. But then when you go into those environments that may be politically challenging, racial tension, or any of those things, you don't know how to survive because you haven't gotten those kind of life skills. And at Morehouse, you were given those life skills, whether it be through intentional learning or unintentional learning. So those are the things I think that provide this different kind of educational experience for someone who goes to Morehouse.
And I think Morehouse also is very communal, right? And I think for students, young people leaving the Bahamas, I think moving into an institution, because you talked about the differences between 3,000 and 30 something thousand students, right? And I do believe that somewhere like Morehouse gives the students a more communal experience. I've had opportunities to attend conferences with Morehouse faculty, actually, and several of them who actually taught here at University of the Bahamas and then moved on to Morehouse, several Bahamians as well who actually work there. And so there's that, and some of them from other places in the Caribbean. So they do have that sort of familiarity and that communal experience that I think is really important, especially for a lot of young Bahamians who may have not left the Bahamas prior to that college experience. It's a great way to sort of ease in to have that type of familiarity as well. So
Agreed, 100%.
yeah, I think that Morehouse is an amazing institution. Actually, in some of the conferences that I've attended, we've had actual Morehouse students also present at panel discussions, and these are undergrads, and they're presenting with PhDs, right? And they're holding their own as well. And so the educational process at Morehouse is top tier as well. I think that it's particularly challenging to navigate one's education and their professional journey. Fabian, what advice would you give now to others that you wish you had the benefit of back then when you went to university? And would that advice still be relevant today?
Yeah, so I think that the pivotal advice I would give is broaden your horizons. And what I mean is, I think you said something key there, Craig, when you talk about the communal environment. Now, for me, I found my community. And amazingly, when you go off to these schools and colleges, you have the chance to find community, right? And community could be the Caribbean Student Association, the International Student Association, or it may be the band club or the glee club or a track club. For me, I had multiple communities, so I was in the Caribbean Student Association. I was also a RA, a resident assistant in my dorm, my sophomore year moving on. So I had that bond. And additionally, I was also part of the honors program. So I had that bond with the honors team. I think the most important thing I would say to, a Bahamian, going off to college or going to, one of these universities in a different place is try different things. Become a part of different groups and face your fears. For me, I had a lot of fear in undergrad where I didn't go out and try for different clubs and organizations, especially because, I thought, hey, I'm not good enough, or I don't know anybody in this organization, or, I can stand out. I think I missed out on quite a few enriching opportunities and quite a few job opportunities because of that. Now, it wasn't until I had a do-over and a second chance going to engineering school because, I went to a university where they had 12 different colleges on the same campus. So while I went to engineering college, I still had the chance to go to their business school and the other classes and take, electives. So for me, I took that opportunity to do a lot. So when I went to RIT, I went, I modeled for the fashion show. I was a DJ. I part of the communications team. I became a DJ, on campus. They had an on-campus radio. I was a part of the business team. I was a part of the entrepreneurship society. I did everything. And it created so many networks and so many new openings for me. And I think that is the recommendation I would give anybody. Be more open to facing your fears. And don't allow your fear to stop you from experiencing new and different activities.
That's great advice. That's great advice. Let's talk a little bit about get back to the summit itself in terms of some of the things you were just talking about, because the theme of the summit is moving beyond borders, building partnerships of purpose. So I wonder if you can talk to us a little bit about that theme and again, why that is important. Because again, I think there are two things going on here, moving beyond borders and building partnerships of purpose. So can you talk to us a little about those two ideas within your theme and how they connect?
Yeah. So, the first part of that moving beyond borders is, for us, as we planned out this conference, we wanted to be a two-way takeaway. So one, we knew that men in the Bahamas, they want to live, they want to grow, they want to explore. They don't have that capability. They don't know where to start. So we wanted to have that kind of dynamic where you had these international persons coming in who could show them the way to explore and become bigger and move beyond their initial border. Additionally, we wanted the conference attendees or persons who are coming from different locales, such as North America or any place else, also to have that same kind of feeling. Whereas, they could be investors or persons who potentially come to the Bahamas to start a business, or they may want to move down here. We wanted to be that cross dynamic where they also move beyond their borders and also give us, some of the things they've been thinking about, whether it's, a new job opportunity or moving to the Bahamas. So we wanted to be a both a two-way street between, the borders. On the second part, building partnerships of purpose, one of the things there is that, as we talked about the crab in the bucket syndrome, we wanted Bahamians, personally, to be able to come to this conference and be able to meet other Bahamians who are doing different, better, or similar things to them, and be able to have that networking power. We wanted those same persons to be able to network with persons internationally and begin to build those networks because, we've seen companies here and we've seen businesses succeed here in the Bahamas. Very few businesses have taken that to the next level. I know that Cable Bahamas was one of the first businesses that went abroad. They bought the entire cable company in Florida, changed that entire dynamic. They grew that company to a multi-million dollar company and then was able to sell that back to another international organization. And these are the things, you know, we need to see that are open to us and stop thinking so small. We need to think bigger as to what we can all do. And I think with the building partnership, the purpose is as we see these thought leaders, the Cornel West, David Washington, all these persons, we want that dynamic to be shared because, you know, we had Sir Sidney Poitier. He was a great actor, you know, and we've had persons like, you know, Lenny Kravitz, who's done some acting as well. Where are our great actors? You know, we have the BIFF Film Festival that happens every year. We have the other film festival, the Island House Festival, and we see these producers coming up. How do we now give them access to a larger scale, a larger platform? And the same way with businesses and arts and artists, how do we give them access? And this is what we're trying to do by building this partnership, because you could come to this conference and find, you know, your next producer or someone who could put you in touch with an actor or someone who can now take your art from being a local piece of art in the Bahamas and now exhibit that in a New York gallery. So these are the things we want to help happen, you know, through that symbiotic relationship of persons interacting, talking, unpacking race, whether it's, you know, they're at a meeting, whether they're playing golf or having a glass of wine. These are the things that we want to happen, you know, at this conference.
And Fabian, who is your intended audience? Who do you, how many people do you expect at the conference? And who do you expect? Do you expect locals? Do you expect international folks? What has been the discussion in terms of who's going to attend this conference?
Yeah, so our intention is that, you know, our conference attendees should be about 450 to 500 persons. You know, we're looking for, you know, a nice breakdown dynamic of somewhere between possibly 65% international folks and then 35% locals. If that number changes, great. You know, that's not a hard fixed number. Definitely, we say the mix between those persons will be, you know, anywhere from persons who are professional background, already accomplished in their career, also persons who are starting out trying to get their foothold. And then finally, you know, persons who don't know, you know, are just starting out, you know, what their career may be or where they want to go. You know, we know that there will be high school attendees as well. And we're looking for sponsors out there who may be able to sponsor two, three, four, five high school attendees, young Black males, to come attend the conference so they can interact and learn. But we see it being a wide mixture of definitely predominantly Black men, you know, who are coming to this conference to be enriched, enlivened, you know, and invigorated. You know, we don't see any age gaps because we know there'll be, you know, persons who will be 45, 50, 60, 80, you know, possibly 17 at the conference. You know, so we have this wide range. And the major purpose is we want persons who are coming to the conference to be one, who are looking to be inspired, two, persons who would like to network, and three, persons who are now looking to take their life, their business, their career to the next level.
All right, thank you for that, Fabian. So we've reached the point for our second break of the show. This is the University Drive. More from the show after this break.
Are you ready to take your knowledge or career to new heights? Don't wait to invest in your future. Do it now. How? Earn a professional development certificate from University of the Bahamas. Whether you're looking to enhance your leadership abilities, sharpen your technical skills, or explore a new field entirely, our Continuing Education and Lifelong Learning Center has the ideal course for you. We offer single-phase electrical, ethics and procurement, accounting for entrepreneurship, stop managing, start leading, dynamic presentations, digital marketing, superior customer service, and justice of the peace. We even have courses on smartphone photography, TikTok videos, defensive driving, and interacting with difficult people. Or open the door to new languages with English as a second language, conversational Chinese, and Spanish in the workplace. Our instructors are experts in their fields, and they're here to support you every step of the way. Call us at 302-4449. Enroll today.
And welcome back to University Drive. I'm your host, Craig Smith, and we are continuing our discussion about the Black Men's Empowerment Summit that's coming up in September. Fabian, can you give us the exact dates of the conference? And can you let us know how we can find more information about the conference?
Sure. So the exact dates for the conference is September 24th through 26th. We have an early bird special happening now, early bird registration, where it's $297 per day, or you can do the full 3-day package at $847. So I definitely encourage persons to try to take advantage of the early bird registration now. And if you want to learn more about the speakers, the conference, who's coming, what they're going to be talking about, you can go to our website, www.internationalblackmenssummit.org. So that's www.internationalblackmenssummit.org. Or you can visit our Facebook page, which has the same name, or you can visit our Facebook page at Morehouse College Alumni Chapter Bahamas and learn a lot more.
All right. Awesome. Is there a Facebook or WhatsApp link that folks can, you know, the younger generation may be a little bit more interested in TikTok and those kinds of things. Is there something or is there something coming that people can look forward to?
Sure. So they definitely can go on social media and find us now, you know, definitely our Facebook link. Definitely, in the coming week or so, we'll definitely be, you'll see a lot more ads on Instagram, on TikTok, on Google, in your social feed, where you can be able to see exactly, you know, more dynamic pieces from those speakers. You know, it'd be short tidbits from their speeches and different things like that. So definitely there's a lot more coming, but definitely you want to go on Facebook and you will see exactly our full breakdown on our program now.
Okay, perfect. And can folks, do guests have to come every day of the 3-day conference, or are we able to maybe just attend the first and the third day, or maybe I just want to attend the second day? Is that an option for us as well?
Yeah. So the option is you can attend any day you want. So day one is about the Black self. Mm-hmm. Day two is about building networks and partnerships of purpose. And day three is business, finance, and investments. And it definitely was, you know, established like that. So persons could now be able to choose the day they wanted to attend. You know, definitely that's something that was in line with their focus. Or if you saw more things that you want to be a part of, you can attend multiple days. Also, there will be a celebrity golf tournament on that Saturday, September 27th. So definitely if you, you know, want to take part in the golf tournament is $450 for registration. Definitely that'll be a great networking opportunity as well, because it'll be a more relaxed, casual environment and persons will be there sharing and talking and laughing and, you know, sharing their experiences.
And outside of the structured conversations and keynote addresses, I understand that each evening there'll be an opportunity to mix and mingle and network as well, correct?
Agreed. So all of the conference attendees, you know, will have access to those social gatherings. So every evening there will be a mix and mingle event. So folks, I just want to put it out that there are some private events, you know, that you may want to be a part of, because we do have the president of Morehouse College who will be in attendance and also the prime minister. So there will be a private event on our opening day. So definitely, you know, to be a part of those things, you have to register early and you have to make, you know, a note so that we know you have interest in that private event, because that will be an invitation event only. So there will be a charity auction on day three as well, where we'll be selling art, artwork and other pieces where you'll be able to interact as well. So we do have a whole, you know, very, very robust schedule where there'll be multiple opportunities to interact in, you know, a focused environment and also in more relaxed environment as well.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is there's going to be opportunity for people to sort of engage critically and philosophically, but also opportunity to just hang out, play some golf, and then just mix and mingle as well. So it's sort of an all-inclusive, you get a holistic experience at the summit.
Correct. Definitely is definitely a time when you get a full holistic experience and they get to interact, you know, all across the board.
All right. So one of the things that, you know, this, when I heard about this and why I think this is important, you know, we are all familiar with the crime rate that's continuing to grow within the Bahamas. Just about every week, there's this guy going on about the murder count going up and up. In most of these cases, if not all, there are young Black men involved with this crime, right? And so, can you talk to us a little bit about how you see education as being integral into maybe curbing this spate in crime? Because I know that there's a lot of conversation about more police officers being harsher on crime, but we've been hiring more police, we've been becoming more harsh on crime, but the crime rate is the same. How do you see education? Because again, the main goal of this summit in terms of empowerment is to get young Black men to think a little bit more about who they are and where they are and what they have access to. Because I would argue that a lot of crime happens because a lot of people don't see another way out, right? People, young men in particular, who have, again, as young Black men, they have this idea of what it means to be a man. Yet they are locked outside of those avenues in terms of being able to financially support their families and their children and have a voice and so on. And so, in many ways, their avenues to manhood is locked off. And so, I want you to talk maybe a little bit about how you see education maybe as an answer to some of the issues that we're having with crime.
There are two parts to this, and there is going to be a short tail and a long tail effect. And what I mean by is this. So a lot of pundits would say, hey, those persons who are now able to get educated and go off to school and go off to college, they're not the persons we're trying to save and stop from doing the crime. But that's the long tail. But the short tail is this. You have in our society an overabundance of young men, who are now growing up fatherless, in this community. They're growing up, where there are no fathers present in the home, or there are no good father figures or role models. So now these guys are left to fend for themselves. They don't understand, what it is to be a man. What is it to be or provide a or come from a good family background or structure? And additionally, how do they now navigate the world of business or success or career or even relationships with a woman, because some of them don't even have a good idea of what that relationship looks like, because they may be in a home where their mom, sister, or aunt has been abused or battered their entire lives. So you have this pervasive cycle. So a part of what we're trying to do with this conference is not just have scholarships dedicated for, persons wanting to go to Morehouse, but also allow some of those funds to be for more community enrichment and activities, where members from Club 1600 and also members from the Morehouse Alumni Association now go into these schools and different areas. And we now interact with these young Black men who are now 10, 11, 9, 13, to show them that there are good role models out there and to give them the opportunity to now see they can be something different. They don't have to lead to crime. That doesn't have to be their only outlet. They can do different things in their lives, and they see people who look like them who are doing different things, And this is kind of what we want to do, with those proceeds from the conference. So there is a two-part strategy here. And I think, the education is the outlook. The education is that lock that allows you to go on. But even for those younger men who may not have access to everything, we want to give them opportunity because there are tons of opportunities. Where we can take them through, BTVI and they learn multiple skills. We can take them to the point where they pass their BJCSEs or different scholastic tests so they can now attend a UB, and they can now get that kind of quality education that they need to go to the next level. Because, you have tons of young men who are now opening their own electrician business, engineering firms, architecture firms, interior design, agriculture, farming. There's opportunities out there. There are tons of ways to make money right now that are legitimate and legal. And we want to use this conference as a pathway so people understand that, while it may be enriching, persons who are 25 or 30 or 20 or 70 at this conference, we believe it starts somewhere. And if we enrich those individuals, those persons can now go back in their community and make a change, make an impact, make a difference. The biggest thing about this conference is this is not a one-time thing. We're trying to make this an annual event where it continues to grow and flourish, and we continue to empower more Black men to get on this trajectory to make a change. If we start here, we can be the change that everyone wants to make, but someone has to be start. Someone has to be the catalyst to be the change, and we want to be the catalyst.
Thank you. So you actually answered my next question. My next question was going to be, how can mentorship programs be designed to provide maximum impact for young Black men, and what role do successful Black male role models play in this? And so, in certain ways, you've kind of dealt with that, right? And you're saying that, a part of, or what I'm hearing, maybe what I want to hear, what I'm hearing is that, again, in terms of thinking about a conference like this, what this can do is bring a lot of these successful, Black men, Bahamian men, business owners, or whatever, together. And, the first step is even just getting to know who we are and where we are, right? And in that, beginning to have those conversations and then beginning to create these mentorship programs, find the mentors, right? And let them know, people in the business world and whatever field they may be in, this is what we want to do, and this is how we want to contribute to the future in mentoring young people who may not have the privilege of having adults in their lives who can mentor them in the way that they need to be mentored. And so I think that that's really important to come together, to be able to bring people together and then have those conversations. And then from there, move on to actually creating these programs where these young people can come and interact with other people from different fields and different walks of life, so they can see that this is an option for me. Because I believe that a lot of young people do have dreams of things that they want to do, but they may not be able to see a way of getting there, right? And so someone who wants to be an actor in the 1980s may have looked to Sidney Poitier and is like, oh, it's a Bahamian, dark-skinned Bahamian man from Cat Island. If he can do it, then maybe I can do it. And I think that that's what we're saying here as well, right? In terms of creating these opportunities to give access to these mentors for young people who may not have the access in other ways.
Correct. You hit it spot on, Greg, and that's exactly what our intention is. And for persons who want to make that linkage and say that these persons are so removed from them, I just want to say, Greg, as we begin to wrap up, is that me attending Morehouse wasn't because I came from a background of financial means. Me attending Morehouse was because I worked hard, but had the magical opportunity to get a full tuition scholarship, and I put that out there for anybody. I went to high school and I was okay in grades, and I finally got focused in grade 10 to the point of getting my grades good enough. But even in my first opportunities, I did not get a scholarship. I performed horribly in my PSATs and my SAT scores. I had to take my SATs three times to get my scores good enough. So I say that to say perseverance matters, determination matters, but opportunity is the key. And at this event and at this conference, these are the things we want to hammer home and give persons the ability to see that no matter what their dreams are, there is opportunity and pathways to make it happen. And we want to make those pathways more known because we believe there are so many people who already went down the path. You don't have to recreate the path. We just have to show people the breadcrumbs to get there.
And I also think that this conference as well, the idea of raising money to create a scholarship fund for deserving young people, deserving young men to go to Morehouse, I actually think that that's really important as well, because a lot of young people who, you spoke about being able to win a scholarship, but the scholarship pool is limited, right? And there's a lot of competition for that. And I think that more scholarships are needed in order to incentivize young people, because a lot of young people who may have good grades or okay grades, but they're not incentivized because they may think that, well, I can get good grades, but I don't have the money to go to university. So what's the point, right? But just having this other opportunity is an understanding outside of, quote unquote, the government scholarships that, you know, people have been using for years now, but having this other opportunity and understanding that here's an opportunity for me to get some money if I go through these mentorship programs, right? Because I believe what you guys are doing, you're setting up a sort of pathway to the scholarship as well through the mentorship programs with 1600 Club. They take part in that, they do well in their grades, and that puts them on the path of applying for the scholarship to then go off to university. Is that correct?
Correct, correct. That is exactly how it's designed, because we understand that there needs to be a feeder program to get you prepared, to get you ready, you know, on that path. So we're trying to manage both ends of it, the feeder, the path, and also the opportunity at the end.
All right. Thank you for that, Fabian. So as we wrap up, just tell us one more time where folks can find more information about the Black Men's Empowerment Conference.
Sure. So to find more information, you can visit our website at www.internationalblackmensummit.org, or you can visit our Facebook page, which is Morehouse College Alumni Bahamas, or you can visit our website page on Facebook, which is International Black Men's Summit. You put any of those in Google, it's going to come right up. You can find all of the information, all the speakers. Early registration is open now, and that is $297 per day. Additionally, like I mentioned earlier, we have a lot of extra perks and abilities. The president of Morehouse will be here. Our prime minister will be doing our keynote and opening address. And there'll be a lot more persons here and speakers who will definitely, you know, empower you, open up your mind, and definitely get you thinking differently about how to take it to the next level. So definitely, I would say to learn more, visit our website, our Facebook page, and definitely keep an eye out. And I would say take advantage of the early registration.
Thank you all to our guests today. You've been listening to University Drive. Join us next time. I've been your host, Craig Smith, signing off for now.
University Drive is a production of the Office of University Relations at University of the Bahamas. All rights reserved.